Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at RightStream and hashtag RightStream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Everyone, hi, welcome to Just Believe Radio. I'm Lisa Tarvis, your host. Great to be here. I am excited to be having another show. It should be another really great show. I have a couple of really super guests scheduled for today, so I think some interesting topics that we're going to cover, nice and simple. It's turning into fall here on the East Coast. I don't know what's happening where you are, but we're definitely having fall coming in now. And the temperature has dropped, and it's lovely, actually. It's lovely. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful temperature. Last year, we kind of went from summer to winter with a snowstorm right around, I guess it was right before Halloween. So hoping that doesn't happen again, because that was pretty much the last snow we got last year. And the snow is kind of fun. It's a good part about winter. So anyway, enjoying the fall. It's going to be another beautiful day here, and I hope it's beautiful where you are too. Anyway, my name is Lisa Tarvis, and I am your host. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, intuitive counselor, and an author of the book Just Believe. Each week, my show airs called Just Believe every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And every week we have different types of guests on, experts in different fields like spirituality, holistic health, metaphysics, the paranormal, things like that. And if you are an expert in that field or you know an expert in that field and think they would be a good fit for the show, feel free to send me your information or their information. The number or the email address is lisa@lisatarvis. It's lisatarves.com. And I will make sure to take a look at it and get back to you on getting the scheduling done. Today, our first guest is an animal communicator, and I love this. I've met a couple of these people in my travels that had this ability, I think it's a fascinating ability. One that goes beyond what the rest of us can do with animals. Like, well, you know, you can tell when your dog's upset, but maybe you're not sure exactly why he's upset. Well, animal communicators can usually go that step beyond that. And I wanted to give everybody the opportunity. The lady I have on today, her name is Nancy Kaiser, and she's offered to, you know, if anybody has any issues with any of their animals, they're not sure what's going on, she communicates without seeing the animal. She can communicate, just like we do with psychic readings and things like that. She can communicate, through space and all that using energy. So she might be able to help you out with what's going on with any of your pets. I mean, you know, I think she covers all animals, but we'll ask her more about that when I bring her on. So anyway, if anybody wants to call in, you can call in at 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. And I'll bring you on as soon as there's an appropriate moment in the show. I'll see you come in on the queue. Make sure that you hit one. If you're just calling in to listen, you don't want to hit one. If you just want to listen, that's great. If you want to ask a question and at any time, you can hit one. and I will see that happen and make sure I get you on as soon as I can. So anyway, you can also, of course, the chat room's open, so you can, well, yes, the chat room is open. So I tried to open it. It doesn't always work, though, for me for some reason. But anyway, it worked. So the chat room's open, and you are welcome to come in and ask any questions you have there, too, or make any comments you want. So I want to read Nancy's bio. Nancy Kaiser lives in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina with her two Labrador brothers and her Swedish warm-blood horse. She is devoted to healing the human-animal bond through enhanced communication and understanding. Nancy works as a spiritual liaison for animals and their human companions, offering consultations via phone, email, Skype, or in person. She is also the award-winning author of two books, Letting Go, An Ordinary Woman's Extraordinary Journey of Healing and Transformation, and her second book called Tales of an Animal Communicator, Master Teachers. Nancy can be contacted at nancy@nancykaiseranimalcommunicator.com or her website, nancykaiseranimalcommunicator.com. So I'm going to bring Nancy on the show now and see what I have so many questions to ask. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Lisa, how are you? I want to thank you first off just for having me on today so I can share with your listeners, you know, what it is and what I do and why I love my life.
Oh, that's great. And Nancy just got back from a lovely vacation, so she's in a great place right now. You're probably all rested and ready to work with all kinds of animals now, right?
Yeah, actually, I'm a little jet-lagged, but I'm very mellow from 2 weeks of fun with friends in Maui. So, yeah, I'm ready to go.
Well, that's good, but I bet. I mean, I it's good that you can come back and just be not intense and just relax and, you know, enjoy life, you know? That's nice.
Oh,
that's
you have to. Otherwise, it's just too hard.
Yeah, well, what happens so much of the time is I find when you take a vacation, you come back, and all of a sudden, within seconds, you're overwhelmed because you've been so relaxed, and now all of a sudden, you're, like, back in reality. So it's nice to have that slight transition time if you can have it, you know?
Well, I bring my laptop with me, so in case I have any clients in crisis, you know, that I need to deal with, so I pretty much know, you know, what's waiting for me when I get home. So that's a good thing.
Well, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, your background, and you know, how you got into this thing. I'm assuming that you found out you had a gift. That's what it sounds like, is a gift.
Well, I used to think things like this were gifts, but actually everybody can communicate with animals. But to go back to your original question is, you know, fill in a little history on myself. I grew up in New Jersey riding horses, loved horses, showed all the way up through college. I went to pharmacy school and graduated from Rutgers Pharmacy School and started to work in my family's drugstore. My grandfather and my father were pharmacists. And eventually, I fell in love with my horse vet, and we were married, and so I left pharmacy and ended up back on his horse farm, or our horse farm, and then managed the equine hospital and breeding farm for the next 27 years, which is where I really was supposed to be, is working with the animals, not so much, you know, in a pharmacy. So the universe got it right, even though I hadn't. And it was through working with one of our clients, Philly Foal. She was a quarter horse Philly Foal born in 1993 that was born with a scoliosis. She couldn't, that's curvature of the spine, and she couldn't stand on her own. She had to have help to get up, and she couldn't do very much more once she was up. But the filly wanted to try, and we just, you know, if the horses were willing, we would do anything that we could to try and help them. and the people that who she belonged to were willing to go with her as well. So it was very interesting because a group of individuals kind of were drawn to her to help her. My ex-husband, now ex-husband, the vet, we had a veterinary chiropractor that was involved. We had another client who worked with a process called Tellington Touch, which is an energy-type healing modality for animals. And our client, Kathy, was donating that. And everybody donated their services. You know, her people had the hardest job because foals will nurse, newborn foals will nurse every half hour, which gets unwieldy for people. So you really need to feed them at least every 2 hours. So, and that's 24 hours a day. And this is a foal that couldn't get up by herself. So someone had to be there to help her get up every 2 hours, 24 hours a day. So as we went through the process of trying to help the foal, I was sort of there just for, you know, moral support and whatnot. But an animal communicator was brought in who lived in New York State by Kathy, who did the T-Touch. And we didn't really know anything about that until Kathy mentioned it one day, and she said, well, I didn't know what you'd really think about that. And I didn't have an opinion one way or another. There weren't very many people doing animal communication 20 years ago. But when she told us some of the things that the filly had told the animal communicator, it just kind of struck me to the core, because one of the things the filly told her was that she was tired of people standing around feeling sorry for her. And I was a huge, huge person doing that. You know, I just kept feeling bad for her and wondered if we were really doing the right thing, putting her through all this. So it really struck a chord with me. A week or so after that, the veterinary chiropractor and the animal communicator were actually doing a workshop at Kathy's farm, and we went to watch. My ex was interested in veterinary chiropractics. He was about to start the classwork for that. And I just, again, went along, you know, as just the vet's wife. But I had my cosmic epiphany when I watched a participant of the workshop say, you know, oh, did the horse just say blah, blah, blah? And the communicator said, yes, he said that, plus he said, you know, something else. And in that moment, I realized that there was nothing special about that woman participant. She was no different than I was. And I realized that this was something that could be learned. It was not, you know, a gift for the selected, chosen few. And I drove home from that afternoon with this burning desire to learn how to do this. Now, I do believe the gift gets involved if it happens to also be involved with your life's purpose, which it is for me. So once I made that decision, a lot of things got facilitated for me. And that's sort of how I got, you know, got to learning that you could learn to be an animal communicator.
So it's not something that's taught necessarily, but something that you kind of, I'm kind of feeling like it's something that you more tune into, like it's always there, and you're you need to awaken it a little bit maybe inside yourself.
Yeah, see, all of our brains are physiologically identical, so we all have the hardware, so to speak, to be able to do anything psychic. It's all, you know, happens with our right brain. My right brain was, like, totally dead, I think, because of our society is so focused on academics and everything in the left brain. And obviously I was. I had been in school for years and years and years. So I reconnected with a woman I had met about a year earlier who was a clairvoyant counselor. She was the only person I knew that was quote-unquote psychic. And I called her and I told her what had happened and I said, you know, can you help me? She was not an animal communicator. And she said, oh, yes, I've been being told that I was going to get a surprise and I think you're it. So I began driving into Manhattan once a week, which I did for a year. And it began with her starting, you know, teaching me how to meditate, which was very difficult for me.
Right.
I tried to take an animal communication workshop with Penelope Smith, who was like the premier communicator 20 years ago. And I tried 4 different workshops, and I never could get in any of them. So I finally decided I was going to meditate and find out why I was continually blocked from doing this, because I couldn't understand it, because I knew this was what I was meant to do. And what I heard when I asked that question, I heard that I didn't need to learn how to do it, I needed to remember.
Right.
So they didn't really want me learning someone else's technique or someone else's method. And, you know, to me, that would have been a lot easier to just have somebody show you how to do it. But instead, you know, the animals really showed me.
So who was the first animal that you communicated with?
The first one that I was conscious of communicating with, very shortly. Everything happened really fast after I made this commitment to do this, and I don't want to discourage others that go and take animal workshop courses, and things don't happen quite fast enough for them and they lose belief in it, because you know, you have to realize this was in my life purpose, so things happened really quickly. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, you know, quickly for you, and if it doesn't, it still will if you put the effort in. But we had a call early one morning from the local police department, and they were calling my then husband because someone had called, they had a doe deer out in their yard who had a fawn half birthed and kind of stuck. And she was wandering around their backyard, and the police would call us for anything like that, you know, any kind of a large animal problem. My husband did horses. So we drove over there, and we found her, and the police were there, and, you know, he was able to remove the fawn, which was dead. And, you know, he gave her some antibiotics and tetanus. And one of the police officers said he had a friend that kept deer, like, in a confined area. And we didn't want that to happen to her. So we said that, no, we wanted her, you know, to be able to return to her wild, and that we wanted to give her a couple of hours. We would come back in a couple of hours, and if she was still here, then, you know, she would end up having to live in a confined area, which really upset me. So on the way home, I was so upset by the fact that she might be confined that I went upstairs to my bedroom, and I started to meditate and went through the process that I had to go through back in the early days. And I really didn't know what I was doing, but I just kept thinking to her. You know, I asked to connect with her, and I didn't know whether I was or not. But I just explained the situation and told her she really needed to go into the woods or she would live the rest of her life in a pen. We went back. It wasn't even quite 2 hours, and she was gone. But the blanket that we had kept over her to keep her quiet while we worked on her, that was gone too. So it concerned me that maybe the policeman had come back and taken her, but I didn't have any way to know that. So when I went into New York that week and discussed everything with my teacher, she said she said, well, we'll just ask the deer what happened. And then she heard from her guides that I was supposed to communicate with the deer. So that was the first time I heard anything back from an animal. And what I heard was that, you know, she was fine and that she had gone into the woods and that the blanket fell off after a mile and that she was very grateful for our help. So she was the first one that
that's really,
I... Well,
that's a nice story. That's kind of, you know, I mean, it's tragic, but it's also, you know, a nice story. I mean, you have to think about these wild animals and the things that can go wrong. And that and how often I remember we live right behind a small patch of woods, but it's big enough that we have quite a few deer. And I remember one night just hearing this horrible screaming coming from the woods, and the whole neighborhood's like, what in the world is going on? It was so loud, and I kept thinking, oh my gosh, I thought it was a deer, and something was going wrong with childbirth, you know, with deer birth, I don't know what it was called,
right.
But with the whole, you know, with the birth of this deer, and I was so upset, but there's nothing you can do. I mean, it's not like you're going to go back to, you don't know, I wouldn't have known what I was doing, and I probably would have encountered 700 angrier animals on the way back there. So,
right.
You know, but finally it stopped, you know, but you just don't, you know, it would have been nice to be able to kind of tune into what was going on. And that was just my assessment. I mean, I just kind of felt like that's maybe what was going on. After about an hour it stopped, but it was horrible. I mean, you know, it's traumatic. So, you know, stuff like that happens all the time. And we don't really think about it. There are problems. Like with us, when, you know, when we give birth or when, with whatever, I mean, animals have the same problem. So what's your process now that you use when you're, because you said you had to get into like a meditative state and stuff. What's your process now? What does it take for you to be able to communicate?
It really doesn't take much anymore, because as with anything, the more you practice it, you know, the better you get at it. I kind of chuckle when I think back to the early days when I would have to go up in my bedroom and close the door and go through this whole color meditation and whatnot. But I don't have to do that anymore. I mean, I pretty much just have to close my eyes, and sometimes I don't even. If I have to communicate with something while I'm driving, I can. You know, but I can just get into that shift into my right brain, and then I hear and I feel. You know, there's four different: hearing, feeling, seeing, and knowing. And I really hear, feel, and know. I don't see, you know, pictures or symbols. I mean, a lot of people, you know, see and don't hear, you know, so it's very individual. So I hear the conversation in my head, but I also feel the emotions, the personalities. I can pick up physical issues. You know, if they're having different physical problems. A lot of times I get a lot of intuitive knowings when I'm connected that kind of help guide me as to, you know, how we can best, you know, solve the problem and have a happy existence between a person and their pet. But the feeling to me is probably the most important, because there's a lot of times that, you know, the animals really don't know exactly why they're doing what they're doing. But when I feel the emotion that they go into when I ask them about a given situation that their person is, you know, upset about, the emotion that the animal goes into when they think about it a lot of times tells me even more than the words themselves. So it's a great combination of things. You know, it's, are they spiteful? Are they remorseful? You know, are they angry? Are they frightened? You know, because the emotion is what's most important. And that kind of guides me as to, you know, how we can help improve that or change that.
So do you hear them when they're communicating with you? Do you hear it like in words? I mean, or is it, I mean, it's
yeah,
not.
No, I hear it in, yeah, I do hear it in words, just like you and I are talking.
Right.
And years ago, you know, my left brain is still very, very functional. And I was trying to figure out, you know, how does this happen? How can this really work? And going back to physics class, you know, and thinking about, you know, we're all taught that everything is energy and energy is a wave pattern. And my interpretation of how this works is, you know, each of our brains is a receiver, like a radio receiver or a TV receiver. So when I'm connected to an animal, and there, to me, therein lies the magic of it, that I get connected to the right animal. And I've never had somebody tell me that they didn't believe I was talking to their animal. And the way I was taught to do this is that I ask my guides and teachers to please connect me to, you know, the person's name, like if I want to connect with mine, let's say, you know, Nancy Kaiser's dog, Hannah. All I need is the person's name and the animal's name. And then my guides and teachers make the connection. And I hear an of course, you know, when I ask permission, I hear of course. It's not yes, it's not no, it's of course. If I'm not getting permission, I don't really hear anything and I don't feel anything. And that's happened maybe on, I could count on one hand in 20 years when I haven't been given permission to talk to an animal. But so they provide the magic of connecting me to the proper animal. And then I ask or tell it whatever I want to. I usually explain who I am. You know, sometimes they're a little suspicious at first if they haven't been used to being communicated with. And then I just think my question or whatever the person wants me to tell their animal. And my thoughts leave my brain, obviously, in English. But the minute my thoughts leave my brain, it turns into a wave pattern, the energy wave pattern. And then the animal's brain, like the TV or radio receiver, picks up that wave pattern and translates it into their language. And then just the reverse happens when they answer me, which to me explains why I can talk to cats, dogs, horses, mice, chickens, hawks, deer, dolphin. To me, there's not another explanation for it.
Wow. Yeah, that's really, I mean, that's kind of how when people ask about, you know, how you work with, how you can heal, you know, like using energy, like with Reiki and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Or like, you know, when you think of us, for me, I'm a logical thinker. I think logically. And when I think about it logically, us all being bodies of energy, of course we can use energy to manipulate someone else's energy to heal them, you know? So to me,
yeah,
it makes sense. And for some people, it's just too out there, I guess, to make sense.
Yeah.
But even as a common sense thinker, I think it makes sense. So I totally believe, like what you're saying about how you communicate with animals and things, because I think that's how we do it with people. When I'm doing an intuitive reading or whatever, I feel like I'm connecting with energy around them, inside of them, you know, I mean, with their essence, with their being. I think it's all kind of related. And when I think about that, I'm like, why am I not communicating with animals? Because I should be able to do, I could certainly do that too. It's just something that I guess I've never, you know, you had it front and center in your life because you were married to a vet, you know? And I think maybe that's what brought it to the forefront for you.
Well, and I was a huge skeptic in the beginning because, you know, coming from the left brain world. And,
right,
you know, I had to have lots of physical proof in the beginning. And I got it from the animals. You know, people would call back and say, you know, what had changed and this and that. And still, 20 years later, when I get calls back or emails and whatnot about, you know, these amazing changes, I'm still like, really?
You know? Yeah.
I'm like, so, yeah. I mean, the magic just doesn't fade, you know.
No,
to me,
it doesn't. I, and I know, because I feel the same way. Like after a client reading, I'll walk away and I'm like, damn, I'm good. I'm like, how do I do that? It's like, it's so amazing sometimes when you're spot on with stuff and it just comes to you and you're like, wow, you know, it's still, you're right. The amazement never ceases. You know, you're always amazed that we have this ability, this other sense that we just don't, you know, recognize, or not all of us recognize, or not all of us take advantage of. So,
well, and I think that's the thing for me that was the most amazing, because I began working with some different healing modalities, so I would have solutions for a lot of the issues that my clients were coming to me for, and they also came to me, you know, in the proper timing, and then animals that needed these certain healing modalities, they started finding me, and that reinforced the teaching. But I think if we start to lose that sense of amazement, then we need to go find another job.
Right.
Because,
right.
You know, it just, I mean, I don't know how you could do anything more rewarding than what I do, to be able to have people get back to me, you know, that were thinking about, you know, maybe rehoming a pet and now they don't have to, or working with a,
right.
a shelter group and helping them get a difficult to adopt dog, a new home that he's going to be a permanent home. You know, I mean, it's just
right.
such a wonderful thing to be able to
yeah.
do.
Yeah, I agree. I have so many people that I come across that, you know, they say they had to get rid of their dog because their dog bit someone. And then, you know,
yep.
of course, you know, you've got issues with it. But I always feel like, oh, wow, if only you knew that the dog, because there's got to be some kind of anxiety there, you know, that's underlying, that's causing them. I have an Aussie, right, an Australian Shepherd,
mm-hmm.
and he's about he's about 6 years old now. And he is the most high-strung animal, I swear. I love him. He's awesome. He is so confused whether he's supposed to herd the cats because he thinks that's his job. But he also thinks his job is to protect me. So,
yeah.
like, he gets between me and anybody that comes into the house or comes near me, even my own kids. He, you know, he's like, he just has to wait between. He'll sit there and lick them the entire time, but he doesn't want anybody near me.
Right.
And we were
right.
talking about getting
right.
we're talking about getting a second dog, and I was thinking about getting a Pomeranian because my mom wanted a Pomeranian, and that was going to be, she had a knee surgery, and after she recovered, she was going to get another dog, which was going to be a Pomeranian. Well, she passed away because of the knee surgery. She had some complications and passed
right.
away. So I was going to get her, I was going to get the Pomeranian thinking, you know, I'll name it, like, I'll get a girl, I'll name it Patsy because my mom's nickname was Patsy, you know, I'm
mm-hmm.
like, that's kind of cool. And I had a client of mine who does animal communication, communicates with animals. And she's like, Lisa, don't get a Pomeranian. She's like, a boomer will not like a Pomeranian. It'll drive him crazy. It'll make him more hyper than he already is. It'll make him more, you know, more agitated. And I'm like, well, what do I get? And she said, I would get something. And she named some dogs, and one of them was a Shih Tzu. So
mm-hmm.
I went, and that's what I decided I was going to get was a Shih Tzu, and he and Boomer get along so well. They are like Boomer, they're just like best friends,
mm-hmm.
and Boomer and it's kept Boomer active. You know, he plays a lot, and you know, as he's getting older, he's not staying all, like, you know, he was getting lazy and a little overweight and all
right,
that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right,
and,
right.
and now, like, the puppy has kept him active. So I was like, thank God she told me that, because I would have had some Pomeranian and Boomer would have been, like, hiding under the bed more than he does now, you know. So I think it's a wonderful gift, and I think it's a great idea to talk to somebody who has this ability before you buy a pet. You know, I mean, they have all these websites that say, well, this dog would be perfect. Well, you know what? My website said, when I did this search, it said an Australian Shepherd would be awesome for my family. Guess what? Australian Shepherds do not like children. You know, and I had children, you know, and
right,
I had children
right,
that brought
right.
children into the house. If
yeah,
you were a teenage
yeah.
boy, you were not leaving without this dog attached to you. I mean, he was going to bite you if you,
yeah.
you know, if
yeah.
if you came into the house. So, you know, it would have been nice to know this. So this is a great, I think, service that you can offer.
Yeah.
to people, you know, to, are you able to tell, like if you were to talk to someone on the phone or something, are you able to sense, like, what breed of animal, like, whether they're a cat person, dog person, or they should just stick with fish, or if, you know, I mean, what, like, and what breed would work? Or does any of that come into play, direct contact with the animal?
Yeah, I've never really done something like that. But I've definitely talked to, you know, horses for people that were considering, you know, they had three or four different horses that they were looking at. And, you know, so I have done that. But I've not really asked for information like a specific breed or whatnot. Years earlier, when I first started this, I used to, not often, but enough, I would have, just didn't feel like we had gotten enough information from the pet. So then what I would do is I would ask my guides and teachers, and I would channel that, and it would come through as an automatic writing. I don't really have to do too much of that anymore because I think I just, you know, the channels are clearer and more open, and I just get these intuitive knowings. But in one of the early channelings that I did, we were told that companion animals had come into being to answer our soul's cries for help, because living here in the earth plane was very difficult. So, you know, our pets have come for a specific reason, you know, to help us and to support us. So I don't necessarily look at breed that much. You know, I'm more locked into the soul level and looking at the soul, you know, and a lot of times people, you know, they'll lose a pet, which I think, you know, my euthanasia consultation work is probably some of the most significant that I do, you know, to help, one, the person go through this, but also for the pet that's leaving, you know, to help a soul during transition is really a privilege and an honor, and I think, you know, the most important work I do. But a lot of times they aren't really ready to replace that pet, you know, it's been a hurtful time and they need a little more time. And I just kind of tell them, you know, just follow your heart and, you know, don't try and put up a lot of restrictions for the universe to work with as to that, you know, breeds and, you know, sex and this and that. And then just kind of keep an eye out because they come to us in the most amazing ways. I mean, I have story after story of clients, how they have connected with pets and then it turns out to be, you know, some soul that has been with them before in this lifetime and perhaps in other lifetimes. So we just really never know. But there are, you know, certain breeds that you have to be concerned about, just like you're saying, when you have kids in the family. You need to do your due diligence, you know, and be kind of smart about it, because otherwise you create problems, you know. I mean,
well,
I'm in the business of problems, but I would rather you not have them to begin with, because
we were looking at breeds, I remember, you know, saying it said not good with small children. And I'm like, well, I don't have small children. I have middle school children and high school children at that point. And but then I didn't think, you know what, I've got a lot of friends with small children. And the first thing he did was bite the first little kid that was in the house that ran, nipped. It was just a little nip, but still, I mean, he did it twice. I mean, it broke the skin, and we sat there and we're like, oh, my God, you know, what are we going to do? So it was really, really kind of a stressful thing for us. I mean, we've learned how to deal with it, and he hasn't done it in a long time. He's much better now. But it's just, you know, we keep him in a crate now if there are any little kids around. That's it.
Yeah.
He's not allowed around little kids anymore. You know, we have to crate him. But, you know, here's a test for you. I have a cat. You know my name. And her name is Mercedes, and she is a Himalayan, and she's 17 years old, and she's not doing well. She's losing a lot of weight, losing a lot of hair, and clumps, and it's not really growing back. She's like all bones. She meows like a crazy person. She just meows and meows and meows. Oh my gosh, so crazy. And then we can only feed her wet food because her teeth are all bad, and they want like $2,000 to fix them. And you know, she's 17, so I'm not crazy. I'm not spending $2,000. I wouldn't spend that on my own tooth, quite frankly. But I'm wondering. She's urinating all over the place. We put a litter box right where she hangs out in the room she spends most of her time, and she still just goes wherever she is. The vets told us that she's, you know, just senile. She's old and she's just senile, but they can't tell that there's anything physically wrong. I thought she had a urinary tract infection because this cat was not a cat that peed anywhere except in her litter box unless she had a urinary tract infection. And then she would pee usually in the sink or something where I would see it, and I'd be like, uh-oh, she's something's wrong, you know, so I would take her to the vet.
Yeah.
I'm refusing to take her and put her down for my convenience because of the fact that she's destroying my house with cat urine, which, by the way, smells horrible, as everyone knows.
Oh, yeah, very strong.
Yeah, it's horrible. But I don't know if she's in pain. I don't know what's going on with her. Can you tell that?
Yeah, let me just get connected to her. Mercedes, you said her name?
Mercedes. Yeah, her name's Mercedes.
Okay, just a sec. Okay, well, her energy is really low. I mean, really low. I just explained to her who I was, and I told her that, you know, you and I are on the phone right now, and, you know, we would like to have a conversation. Would that be okay? I always begin that way because I want to show them respect, you know, that I'm asking their permission to speak with them. And she said yes in this very tiny little voice. What would you like to ask or tell her?
I want to know if she's in pain.
Okay.
I want to know if she's suffering, if she's suffering in any kind of pain.
Okay, just a sec. Well, she said she's really stiff a lot, and that she just, everything is so much harder to do than it used to be. So she said it's not like a specific area pain. It's just kind of an all-over achy kind of. She said, I'm just getting old.
Yeah. Can you ask her why, is she urinating on everything because she's trying to tell me something, or is she doing it because she just doesn't feel like walking to the litter box?
You know, okay.
I don't know. We put it real close, but I don't know what's going on with that.
Okay. Well, she's kind of embarrassed. You know, I could feel my face got kind of flushed when I started asking her about this. She said she just doesn't even know it's happening.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I kind of thought, because it's strange places and...
Yeah.
It's like she can't control it anymore.
Well, and the fact that she's embarrassed about it, you know, I mean, she obviously knows that, you know, she's supposed to head to the litter thing, but she said she doesn't even know it's happening.
That's so, I feel so bad. It's like one of those things where you just don't know what to do, you know? It's like I'm just so afraid that she's suffering, and, you know, and I'm a big person. I mean, we give our animals a gift, really. And being able to put them down, and you know that we can't do that for our loved ones, for humans, you know, we can't do that for them, but we can. It's a gift that we can give our pets.
Yeah,
and
we always felt it was the last greatest gift we could give them, and I couldn't do that for my parents, who I watched die of cancer on our farm.
Right.
You know, and I felt totally helpless.
Right, and you can't do that, but I can do that for her. if she, if that's what she wants me to do. I mean, it's just one of those things where you're, how do you, I mean, I don't want to do it if she's not ready to go. Is that something that she, is that something that she knows, or does she just not get that? I mean, you know, I mean, how deep do animals get? Do they understand?
Well,
death?
See, when I'm connected to their higher self. So, you know, we have a higher consciousness than just their conscious mind. But I tell, you know, when I have a client that's called in with the euthanasia consultation, you know, eventually we get to that question, you know, are you ready to go back to spirit? And then sometimes, you know, they'll say, oh, my gosh, yes, I've been waiting for, like, months, sometimes years. But they will wait, and they will go through the most amazing things in order to try and teach us about how to let go and how to say goodbye. Others, they know their time is coming soon, but they haven't made the decision just yet. You know, and everybody always asks me, well, you know, how much longer and this and that. And I can't really say that because they can make that decision in an instant. They can make it an hour after we've had a communication consultation. But what it does, the information at least alerts the person to the fact that, yes, the time is running short and they should be prepared. And, you know, mostly I counsel clients. I said, just, you know, you're going to see a look in their eye and you're just going to know, because the people that contact me are, they're very connected to their animals or they wouldn't be calling an animal communicator.
Right.
And they just don't trust themselves. And I've never had a client yet that didn't already know that their pet was getting ready to leave when they've called with that question. But they just
have
it reinforced.
I know she's getting ready. I know she's not comfortable. I know that, you know, that she's not herself. She used to be a cat that, like, just was by herself all the time. She just hung out in the basement or in one of the kids' rooms or something. And now she's either on the counter in my, you know, on the island in my kitchen, or she's in the family room. And she's always in the same spots. And it's not like her. It's just not normal behavior for her. And the fact that she throws up so much and she's losing so much weight and everything,
I just
keep thinking if there's something really wrong, I don't want her to suffer. But, and they can't communicate like people, you know, she can't tell me, just let me go, you know, and I don't want to, for the sake of my feelings and my children and all that, I don't want to keep her around when she's, you know, if she's ready to go.
Well, we certainly can ask her.
Okay, I'm afraid, but go ahead.
Okay, and most people are, and I always have to ease into that, you know, like, are you ready for me to ask the question you really don't want to ask?
I am.
Okay, let me ask her. Well, she said that she would be ready to go whenever you are, that she's been hoping that you would kind of see that things are just so very difficult for her. She hates to leave you alone, but she knows that she'll be able to handle it.
She's been through so much with my family. I mean, she's just been around. She's 17. My children, my natural children have, you know, are 19 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been around. They don't remember life without Mercedes. You know,
right,
she's been around.
Right.
She was around for my first marriage. She was around for my divorce. She was around when I went back in with my parents, then went to a townhouse that I got on my own, and then, you know, got married again. She's been, like, there with me through so many things, you know. So I just feel like she's been the world's greatest, you know, pet. And I think that's what it is. You know, you just don't want to see him suffer. You don't want to, you know, don't want to make them last one more day than they want to. You know, if they're done, I get that. If she's ready to go, I get that. And I can handle it. You know, the kids can handle it. Nobody wants her to suffer. We just love her too much, you know?
Well, I think from what she said that she's ready, you know, and the thing is that once a soul is ready. I when I have people that contact me with animals with serious medical issues, you know, I know they don't want to go there, but I have to tell them, you know, the first thing we need to ask is, you know, is your pet trying to return to spirit? Because if that soul is ready to transition, it doesn't matter what kind of healing we do, be it traditional or holistic or, you know, all right. the different processes right. I work with. If that soul's agenda is to transition, we might be able to heal a given condition. But then a month later or a week later, something else will happen. Because
right.
when it's their desire to return to spirit, at that soul level, that's what's going to happen. So it's so much easier to just find that out initially rather than go through, you know, $20,000 worth of chemotherapy on a dog
this
with
is,
some kind of cancer.
Absolutely. This is what I keep, you know, I mean, the last time we went to the vet with her, it was like $350-some to find out that she's old. I'm like, well, I already knew she was old, you know.
Right.
I got that, but what can we do for her? And you know, and then you know, there's the things like there've been signs like signs. Not only that she's around so much of the time that she's just there, but you know, it's like she's trying to show me how pathetic it really is for her, you know.
Yeah.
But then things like, you know, she lost one of her claws, just fell out, her whole claw just fell out. And,
oh, wow.
and right in front of my kids were there, you know, they saw it, they picked it up, they were like, oh my god, her claw fell out. And they called
yeah.
me, I wasn't home, and they
yeah.
called me, they're like, mom, you know. And I'm like, that's, to me, that's a sign. She's saying, dude, I'm old.
Yeah.
I'm not losing my claws, you know. It's like, I don't know, it's just, you know, there's just so many things. And it's so great that there's somebody like you that people can talk to, that people can call, and that people can get, you know, can get in touch with their animal souls, you know, and find out. Like, I mean, for me, it's comforting to know that Mercedes is ready. I mean, so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
because we're at the point now where if one more thing gets bad with her, we're gonna do it.
Right.
Because we're just, you know, it's just it's getting so obvious that something's wrong. So
yeah.
it's so comforting that they can call you, some people can call you and find this out, find out what their animals are thinking and find out, you know, what's going on.
Animals are such creatures of habit and routine that when that changes, just as you've seen with her, that's a big red flag. You know,
yeah.
because they don't change their routine and their habits unless there's something really going on. And
right.
I always have to caution clients that, you know, I'm doing a euthanasia consultation for, because usually during the consultation, you know, if it is, you know, going to be taken care of for the pet, you know, that we'll tell them that. And you always have to be guarded. Once they find out that they're going to be sent home, because this is really what they've been hoping for, that their message is getting through, they can almost have like a turnaround, and they almost look like they're totally normal. And you start second-guessing yourself, and,
right.
and I myself have been there, you know, when I,
yeah.
my old labs, when they, you know, let me know it was time, and I make the call, and then I'm sitting waiting to get to the vet office, and all of a sudden they just seem so much better, and I start second guessing myself, me, the animal
right.
communicator, and then I sit there and I say, oh my God, you're doing just what you tell your clients not to do.
Right.
So you always have to be cautious of that. Once the pet knows that they're going to be, you know, sent back to spirit, they can all of a sudden make this amazing turnaround, and it's what we've been hoping for them, but it's not because they've gotten healed. It's because they're so relieved and happy that they're going to be sent home. They look at transition completely differently than we do. To them, it's a happy experience. They don't understand why we're so upset about it.
Right.
It totally confuses them. To them, it's the beginning of a new cycle. It's something to be, you know, joyful about, as we're sitting
right.
there with them hysterical crying and we can't let go. And, and it totally confuses them. So I spend a lot of time helping them to understand that we just have a different perspective on it.
Yeah, well, I may have to call you in a short amount of time to talk to Mercedes again.
Well, I'm not going anywhere. I've had my vacation.
Yeah, your vacation is over.
So
let's talk about your books real quick, because we're going to be out of time here in a few minutes, and I want to give lots of opportunity for you to tell everybody how to contact you. But first, let's talk about, you've written two books, and obviously your latest book is the one that we're really talking about, which is Tales of an Animal Communicator, Master Teachers. How is that different from your first book? And tell everybody
Okay, well, my first book, Letting Go, was actually written or taken from a personal journal that I wrote after I moved to North Carolina, and my then-husband, unbeknownst to me, kind of walked out. And it was very traumatic, and I probably learned more through that period than I had in the entire of my life. And Letting Go chronicles that, the lessons learned, how I learned them. Just an amazing experience, from somebody who was close to maybe leaving this world to somebody who's very happy and content and loving the life she has today. Tales of an Animal Communicator, Master Teachers, begins with the story of the filly foal that showed me what my life's purpose was. Her name was Because of Love. First four chapters are her story, because without her, I might not even be sitting here. The rest of the book are the lives and lessons that I've learned from my personal animals, which there was so much that it ended up filling an entire book.
Wow.
There will be a third book, which I haven't started yet, that's going to be called Tales of an Animal Communicator, Being a Clear Voice, which is what I ask before I do every session, to be a clear voice between the pet and the person.
Sure.
So those will be the lessons I've learned from my clients' animals over the last 20 years. I am donating a portion of the sales from Master Teachers to three different animal charities. The first one is my local Humane Society here in North Carolina. Then to Noah's Wish, which is a group that helps animals during disasters. And the third is the Wild Horse Sanctuary in Shingletown, California, that has about 5,000 acres and maybe 300 Mustangs that they care for. And I had visited their place, which I talk about in the latter stages of Letting Go. It was an amazing experience. So those are the three charities that Master Teachers, a portion of the proceeds, gets donated to.
Okay, it sounds like such a great book. And actually, the one that you're going to write sounds really fascinating, too, because there's got to be some amazing stories you'll be able to tell about, experiences you've had with your clients' pets and things like that. And you also have, I know you have a companion CD and something, Gifts from the Universe, is that what it's called?
Yes, it's called Gifts from the Universe. It comprises the final chapter to Master Teachers, and it actually came through a channeling session with a friend of mine who's a trans channel, who I did a lot of work with as I was going through the Letting Go experience, and that's where I learned a lot of stuff. But I had a session just as I was finishing the manuscript for Master Teachers, and I was taken through two different guided meditations that were for releasing old patterns in order to make way for new patterns, which, it can be done at any time. I've done it multiple times. The first one was done by Archangel Michael, and the second one, which is a little shorter, is by a group of beings called Master Teacher Spirit. And they were so powerful that I just felt they needed to be included in the book, and I wanted, everybody to be able to experience them and make use of them. They're kind of a tool for helping us deal with the constant changes that we're experiencing in the period we are right now in our, consciousness raising, so to speak. But I realized after I you know, wrote the book, that it's kind of hard to do a guided meditation from reading it. So what I did was I then put it on a CD. So, you know, people will have the meditations on a CD so they can actually, you know, do the processes themselves.
Right, right, right. That makes a lot of sense. Now, tell everybody, too, where they can find more. I did read your website, which is Nancy Kaiser Animal Communicator, and your name is spelled N-A-N-C-Y, last name is K-A-I-S-E-R, animalcommunicator.com. And I know you're on Twitter. I already started following you on Twitter. And your email address is nancy@nancykaiseranimalcommunicator.com. But is your book available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all that?
Oh, yeah. And they're also as e-books. If they start at the website, it's the best place. And I'm actually in the process of moving from one website into a new one. I've also created a little audio workshop, and it's called 7 Easy Steps to Creating a Deeper Connection with Your Animal Friends. I don't have it up yet on the new website, you know, and but my main website is there. But if any of your listeners are interested, if they will just send me an email, and they can do that through the website as well, and just say, you know, that they were listening to the show and they would like me to send them, you know, this little audio workshop, you know, I'm happy to do that. Eventually, now that I'm back from vacation, you know, I'll get it set up with my web guy on the new website and we'll be working from that. But there are links in the website where you can buy books directly from me that I'll personalize. You can find links to the different sites that sell them as e-books. And they are also, you know, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble as print books. If you're interested in how much the charities get from the sales of Master Teachers, I can donate the most if someone buys a print copy through my website.
Right. Okay. All right. That's great information because obviously everybody wants to see, you know, all these charities supported. So,
yes.
That's great information. So everybody, definitely contact Nancy at nancykaiseranimalcommunicator.com, and we will. I'm really appreciative of you being on and letting me know what's going on with Mercedes too, because that's been a huge stressful thing for me lately. Because I just love that cat, but you know, you just don't want to be selfish, and so it's hard. And I'm sure lots of people have the same problem. And you know, I mean, if you can, I'm positive that your work has to comfort people a lot. So I really appreciate you being on the show and for your help. And everybody, definitely get Nancy's book. And I would definitely go through the website, nancykaiseranimalcommunicator.com. Nancy, again, thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. Anytime. I'm here to help, but I'm here to help people and animals live more happily together.
I definitely would love to have you back, so I'll be in touch soon.
Great.
All
have
right?
a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody. I have another guest coming up, but we're gonna talk about meditation and some mindfulness stuff. And if you can just hold on for me for just a couple minutes, we're going to run some commercials, and I'll be back. You're listening to Just Believe Radio on the RightStream Network.
Hi, this is Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, energy healer, intuitive, and the author of the book, Just Believe. I'm also a host on the RightStream Network. My radio show is called Just Believe and airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please stop by my website at www.lisatarvis.com. That's L-I-S-A-T-A-R-V-E-S. For details on all the services I offer, information on my book, and my radio show, there are many amazing guests and fascinating topics scheduled for the show in the upcoming months. I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school. To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk.
We have the power to stop the bullying. Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up. I shouldn't be afraid to get on the school bus.
To turn on my computer.
Message. Or walk to my locker. Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
And we're back. Thank you, everyone. You're listening to Just Believe Radio. I am Lisa Tarvis, your host, and we just had a great hour talking about animal communication, and I got to tell you, I feel a little better personally because Nancy was able to communicate with my 17-year-old Himalayan cat, Mercedes, who is having some health issues, and I'm not sure, you know, nobody can pinpoint what it is, and I'm not sure if she's in pain or not, but she's making some obvious different things going on with her behavior. So she actually made me feel a lot better. So now I know whatever decision I make or we make as a family is the right one. So I'm happy about that. So I thank Nancy again. Second half of the show, Shangela. I don't know. I have to ask her again. See, I knew I'd mess it up. Her last name is Pierre, Shangela, I don't remember. Anyway, she is Shangela. I don't know. Anyway, she is an educator, author, business owner, and meditation instructor who specializes in mindfulness meditation and Qigong, I could be butchering that as well. She is an avid meditator with a daily meditation practice of over 2 hours. By the way, that's really impressive. I can't make that happen. She has a master's degree in the field of education with 3.5 years of post-master's education in naturopathic medicine. This includes mind-body therapy, traditional Chinese medicine, which is TCM, botanical medicine, nutrition, hydrotherapy, and as well as other healing modalities. She loves teaching, which is something she has done for over 15 years. Based on her experience, both professionally and personally, she has designed a meditation for health program to teach people to relieve stress and anxiety, as well as heal emotionally and physically with meditation. So meditation is a very important part of everybody's life, and I want to bounce some things off of her, but first I'm going to make sure I'm not pronouncing her name completely wrong. All right, I knew this was going to happen. I told you during the break I was going to totally butcher your name. Shangela or Shangela?
Shangela.
Shangela. I love it. I love it. But I like Shangela too.
It's Sean and Angela together, so it's Shangela.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what I said. That's what I was like, I think it's Jella because Angela, but that's why I got confused. So Shangela, right?
Shangela.
Shangela. Shangela. Oh, I did it again. Shangela. Okay. So everyone, her name is Shangela. So everybody can yell at me if I get it wrong again. Shangela. All right. So meditation, obviously, is such a critical thing. And as a metaphysician, as a holistic health practitioner, I've spent a lot of time studying meditation. So what I'm wondering, there are lots of things I'm wondering. But in your opinion, you're spending 2 hours a day, which is incredible. And is your 2 hours like a formal practice, like a formal, you're sitting and, you know, or are you like me and you meditate while you vacuum and things?
All of the above. I have formal meditation in the morning and at night. as well as the evening, because it kind of breaks the day in half. And I'm also learning to incorporate meditation into my everyday routine. Meditation is a way of life for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important. Meditation is so important. I find, you know, when I was first studying metaphysics, when I was first studying, you know, holistic medicine and doing all this years and years ago, I would sit within the formal practice and, you know, I would find that time and I would sit, you know, and I never thought you really needed to be in the lotus position or anything like that. I just kind of thought you needed to sit in silence, you know, and I would sit like by my altar in my meditation room, which I had, which is now an office, and of course has become a little busier than it used to be as a meditation room. But it's, you know, now I find like, I don't know, I'm busy. I'm finding myself doing, like when I take a shower and when I am doing dishes, like I'll hand wash just dishes just for the sake of like going to that place, you know, where you go when you meditate. Things like that. But I have people that argue with me that that's not really true meditation. What's your view on that?
I feel that is meditation. It's like meditation in motion. I teach Qigong, and I teach both static and moving Qigong. And with the moving meditation, you're just being mindful of your movements. You're in that quiet space in your mind, and you're just being present at that moment. That's what you're doing when you wash dishes and when you mow the lawn or anything else you want to do in a meditative state.
Right. I always thought it worked. I mean, I come up with some really great stuff when I'm taking a shower, when I'm vacuuming or something. I mean, you just go to this place and you find yourself listening. You know, I always love the saying, you know, prayer is when you talk to God, meditation is when you listen to God. I think that is so, so true. And it takes you from a place of talking to a place of listening. And that's what I find I'm able to do, even though I'm not necessarily, even though there may be background noise or other stuff going on. How do you feel that meditation helps with stress and anxiety? Because that's, oh my gosh, we're a society of people that are so stressed and anxious. I mean, I find that it helps me with anxiety and stress a lot, and I'm sure you do too. How does it help? What is it doing for us?
Well, stress and anxiety are related. Many times they're a result of a perceived threat or negative thought, and as a result, you undergo a stress response. So you're releasing all types of stress hormones, such as adrenaline and cortisol, and these all have profound effects on your body. Your blood pressure rises, your immune system gets suppressed, along with a whole series of other reactions. Meditation affects the body in exactly the opposite way that stress does. It restores the body to a calm state, helps the body to repair itself, and prevents new damage due to physical effects of stress. When practicing meditation, your heart rate and breathing slow down, your blood pressure normalizes, you use oxygen more efficiently, and you sweat less. So your adrenal glands are producing less cortisol, your immune function improves, your mind clears, your creativity increases, and you also learn to ground yourself and literally get out of your mind. So this releases you from a barrage of negative thoughts that causes stress response. And over time, there's a shift into a more quiet, focused, and tranquil mind. So meditation, it just rocks. It's just so profound.
Yeah, I think it does. It does too. And there have been so many things written. And I post, every time I read one, an article that someone writes, I end up posting it on Twitter and Facebook and everything, because there are so many now proven, scientifically proven, and this is the whole thing, you know, now that we can prove some of this stuff, proven benefits to a regular meditation practice. You know, they're able to measure these things. They're now able to measure them. Before it was thought to be like hokey or, you know, hippie-like or new agey, and now it's like, wow, no, really, there's a lot of good that comes from meditation. And I think that's great that we're now able to qualify to make something that used to be thought of as a little, you know, I mean, that's the whole thing I always say as a metaphysician. I'll spend my life trying to prove the unprovable. You know, so when there's something about my job that becomes scientifically provable, if that's even a word, I am totally into it. I love it. And one of the things that has gotten to that place is meditation. How does meditation help a person heal with emotional issues and with physical issues?
Again, this is related to anxiety and stress. Your body reacts to stress with physical, emotional, and mental responses. Remember that most of stress you're experiencing is a result of the thoughts that are going on in your head, not actually what is happening in the present moment. For example, continuously thinking about negative thoughts in the past or worrying about the future, these all cause stress and affect you physically, emotionally, and mentally. So meditation can train your mind to stay in the present moment, train your mind to quiet and easily release thoughts that do not serve you.
Yeah, I think that it's great advice. And I always tell people that are, you know, I talk a lot about in my practice, I talk a lot about forgiving and how important forgiveness is and letting go of anger and resentment and all of those things, because I tell everyone that holding on to those emotional issues will eventually cause physical issues. You know, it's going to cause problems. You just can't hold on to that stuff forever and not expect it to at some point affect you negatively. And so I think that, meditation is so crucial to how we, how we function. I mean, life is hard. I mean, you know, it's one of the simplest things I ever hear people say. But the bottom line is, and I was out with, you know, one of my very good friends yesterday. We went down, and I lived in the suburbs of Philadelphia. We went down into the city with our husbands for lunch, and we just had a great day. And she's one of the ones that always says to me, life's hard, you know? I mean, so many people just, you know, you hear somebody say that, and I think that that's so true. It can be so difficult, and there's so much being thrown at us all the time, and we need an escape. You know, we need an escape, and it doesn't need to be drugs or alcohol or cigarettes or, you know what I mean? It can actually be your vice can be meditation, you know? It can be that high, you know, that you need, that escape that you need and that people are searching so hard for, which is why I think we have so many people that are addicted today because they're looking for an escape. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I try to take the perspective that life can be easy. And so I try to make my life in that fashion. That's why I try to incorporate meditation so thoroughly into my life so that I attract into my life more peace, more calm, you know, situations so that it can be easier for me.
So you're kind of feeling like because you meditate, your life doesn't it doesn't have to be hard. Life can be, yes. Life can be easy. You know, it can be. So how are you handling? Okay, you get something happens. You know, one of those things that just happen in all of our lives every day that cause us some sort of maybe. Someone you care about has a car accident, and even though they're not necessarily injured badly, you still, you know, you feel sick for them. That's how I am. I always feel sick for everybody because I think of what they experienced when they went through that car accident, you know. How are you handling it differently because of your meditation practice, or do you immediately go to a meditative place?
Well, I feel you're handling it different because you practice meditation and you're practicing putting your attention on, let's see, a good way of saying this. You're practicing quieting your mind. Really, a lot of the suffering occurs from the thoughts that you're having in your head. So you learn to recognize those thoughts and you learn to release them because they're not serving you, those thoughts in your head that are causing you to feel bad because they're affecting your health. They're affecting you physically, emotionally, and mentally. These thoughts that, you know, whatever they are, if they're making you feel bad, they're affecting you.
Right. That makes complete sense.
So it's really not what life gives you. It's how you react to it, basically. It's how you're going to deal with it, and meditation helps you to deal with it in a different way than what you would normally deal with it.
I want to give everybody a phone number if they want to call in and talk to Shangela, by the way, because, you know, she's got some great information here. The call-in number, if you have any questions about meditation or whatever, is 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. When you call that number, if you have a question and you want to come on the air, press 1. And I will find you in the queue. If you just want to listen, don't press 1, and you'll just be able to hang out and listen through your phone or whatever. And I do actually have a caller on the line. I did not screen it, so I don't know who it is or what's going on. But give me do you mind taking a call real quick?
Yes, ma'am. I could take a call.
Okay. All right. Let's see who's calling. Area code 229.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My name is Melvin. I'm calling out of Georgia.
Hi, Melvin.
Hi.
Hi, Melvin.
Yes. Hi. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a question?
Yeah. Excuse me?
Yeah, I wanted to know if you had a question for Shangela.
Yes, ma'am. I do believe that I called the right show at the right time. Because I'm going through situations with little voices that trying to get me off track and to a lot of negative thinking. And I'm trying to stay focused to delete all of this out of my mind. And because I don't serve it, so it's not me. So I was wondering, like, why am I getting all these negative vibes, these negative thoughts that's going through my mind? It's kind of hard to explain because it's something that I know I would never do. You know, like I, for instance, get thoughts of like just I'm gonna die. It's like, you know, I want to die. That's what I'm like. I want, and I'm like, where is this coming from? Why am I thinking this? Why am I so, you know, no, you know, I don't serve that. I give it back to the universe. So can you help me out with what
Shangela,
I'm trying to
do? Okay. Yes. Shangela, can you take that one?
Yes. Well, all okay. that you are at this point is a result of all that you've lived. So you have to realize that what's happening now is a result of everything that's accumulated up to this point. And your thoughts are more than just your conscious thoughts, but they're also your subconscious thoughts. So actually those are the majority of your thoughts. So what you're hearing now is an accumulation of your subconscious thoughts. And unfortunately, many people don't realize that they've accumulated all of this baggage, negative thinking, from years and years and years of just being totally unaware of it. And now that it's come to a point that you can actually just hear it in your mind, now you're like, okay, what's going on? This is definitely does not serve me, and I need to switch my thoughts. So this is how meditation can help to train you to focus you more on positive thoughts and thoughts that are going to serve you. And it also allows you to release the old thoughts that do not serve you. And, of course, this is going to require time because it took a lot of time for this to happen to you. But the more you meditate, the easier it gets to focus on positivity, and the more quiet your mind becomes and the healthier you become emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Does that help?
Yes, ma'am, it does.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And how would I start this process for healing my mind from negative thoughts?
How do you start the process? Well, you start the process with the first thing, you set a goal. You want to meditate, okay? You want to learn how to meditate. The second thing is to create the space for that. So are you going to meditate during the morning, at night? So find a time that's going to be good for you to meditate. And then you have to obviously learn how to meditate. Of course, there are many ways to meditate. Focusing on the breath is a common method in which many people choose. For me, as a meditation teacher, what I do is I try to get more background information for people, and I try to help guide them to a meditation technique that is going to be useful for them. And you can find those resources on my website, and you can also contact me through the website for further assistance. My website is www.seekwithinyou.com. That's SEEKWITHINYOU.com. And you can find information on some meditation techniques there as well, and you can contact me there.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I will definitely contact you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. That's great. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you all for taking my call.
Of course. Okay, so Shangela, talk to me. I know you offer a meditation for health program. Can you explain that program? What is that? Is that something available on your website?
Yes, it is available on my website. I designed the meditation for health program as a step-by-step program to help people release stress and anxiety, as well as heal it emotionally and physically with meditation. I teach mindfulness meditation and Qigong, as well as other holistic techniques in the program. And this program is offered online. It's offered at meditation retreats, and I also teach it locally here in the Metro Detroit area.
Okay. So what do you think the benefits are to the Meditation for Health program?
Well, it's more than just a Learn How to Meditate program. While that's a key part of the program, students also learn other key aspects. They learn stress and anxiety management techniques. They learn other holistic approaches to be mindful outside of meditation. And they also learn what to expect when they are healing, because this is key for many people. Many people are unaware of the simple signs their body is sending them to let them know their current state of alignment with health. They learn this in the program. They also have an opportunity to ask me questions through many formats. They can ask a discussion forum, email, or private counseling sessions. So this is like different than the out-of-the-box program. You get personal interaction and an ability to ask questions throughout your journey.
Okay, talk to me about the book. You wrote a book, which I think this whole program came from, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me about the book.
Oh, yes. I first wrote Awakening to the Healing Powers Within, an Energetic Perspective on Self-Healing, in around 2011. I intentionally kept the book very simple and in general terms, because I like to keep things simple. I feel it helps people to better understand complex subjects. As the months progressed after publishing the book, I realized that many people needed more specific details than I presented in the book. So at this point, I thought I had two choices. I could either revise the book with more detail, or I could create a continually evolving interactive program for people. By creating the program, it would be easier to add additional information and interactive material such as videos to help people better understand the material. So I chose to do the program.
Okay, and what are the you know, well, there's a lot of questions I have. I don't even know where to start. So what are the key benefits to the program? Like, what's different? You know, because there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, I can teach someone how to meditate, but, you know, and I have people that come in and ask me to teach them how to meditate, and we go through this whole practice, and I explain the basics of meditation. But how does this program differ from, like you were saying, the other programs that are out there?
I would say one of the major reasons would be the direct assistance you receive. You get to ask questions throughout your journey to help clarify issues. Many people think of meditation as a mysterious process, so they kind of need guidance and help throughout the way. The program is also responsive, and it evolves as questions from students evolve. So if they ask me a question and I I feel that is something that will really help clarify it for others. I'll create a video or I'll create some kind of tutorial and then I'll add it to the site. So I feel that this is what makes my program different than other programs.
So it's like you said earlier, you're like constantly tweaking it and it's constantly evolving and changing and all of that. What got you into teaching meditation at all?
Well, I love to teach. I've been doing it for over 15 years. It's like a passion of mine. It's like when you teach someone, you give them the knowledge that they need in order to succeed, and that
right.
is very powerful to me. In regards to meditation, I feel meditation is a powerful way to self-heal, and I want to teach people that they have the power within themselves to heal.
That's nice because we do all have that power inside ourselves, and it's important for people to understand that, and for them to maybe go within themselves before they go outside themselves trying to find a way to feel better. So what are some of the key pieces of advice that you want to share with the listeners today? To help everyone achieve optimal wellness, which is, I think, what we're all looking for.
Well, I would definitely say meditate on a regular basis. Meditate every day. When you meditate on a regular basis, you receive more of the residual effects of meditation practice, such as a more calm and centered mind. When you have a more calm and centered mind, you just naturally feel better. You naturally raise your vibration, and then you heal physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You're just, like, constantly getting into a better state of health.
Right. Right. And that's health in many ways. I mean, like I always tell everyone, if your emotional health is well, if you're spiritually healthy, if everything's in balance, then you're going to be physically healthy as well. So that's, there's definitely something about the mind, body, spirit, balance that does keep us healthy. So tell me some of the favorite, I'm a big quotes person and I know you are too. And tell me some of I post quotes all the time on Twitter and I post quotes all the time on Facebook and, on LinkedIn and all the different sites I'm on. And they're ones that usually resonate with me the day I post them or the day I read them and schedule them to post or whatever. Do you have certain ones, certain quotes that keep you just inspired, that keep you able to keep your practice going? I mean, are there quotes that you think about or affirmations that you use?
One of my favorite ones is, "The only person you are destined to become is the person you decide to be," by Emerson. It inspires me because it reminds me that I have control over my destiny. I decide who I am and how I'm going to react to any situation. So I'm the captain of my soul, the master of my ship.
That's a good one. I like that. I like that. Who was that by?
Emerson.
Oh, that's probably why I love it, because I love his stuff.
Oh, I do too. I have so many of his quotes.
I know. It's like he's like one of my favorites. It's so real. And like you said, it's kind of, you said you like to keep things simple. And when I wrote my book, I did the same thing. I just wanted it to be simple and easy to read and uncomplicated, because so much of the stuff gets so complicated. I remember studying for my, I don't know if it was my bachelor's or my master's in metaphysics and taking meditation courses and being like, oh my God, how can they make something that's supposed to be so good for you, so freeing? How can they make it so complicated with some of the textbooks that I had to read? It was just like, oh my gosh, it gave me a headache. So, and it was like that with so many of the classes that I had, so many of the textbooks that I had to read. And so for me, everything I write, I try to keep it simple, and so I love that thought that's what you're doing with your book and what you did with your book. And now for people that want to delve even deeper, you're still keeping it simple, but you've gone deeper through the course that you, the program that you developed. tell me what your thoughts are about the overall health and wellness of society right now and how medicine is practiced, because I've got lots of opinions about this and people are sick of hearing my opinions. So why don't you tell everybody yours?
Well, I feel like the U.S. is shifting towards a more holistic approach to healthcare. People are starting to realize that they need more than just the medication prescribed by their doctors.
Right.
They're starting to realize that there is a mind-body connection, and it's important to address the mind when dealing with their health.
I think we're getting there too. I think it's been really super slow. But I've seen it was so slow for so long, and then in the last couple of years I've seen such a huge transformation. So many people coming over to holistic approach, and drugs. There's nothing wrong. Look, if you get an infection, hell, take an antibiotic. I'm all there. I mean, whatever. If you've got a bacterial infection, sure, you're gonna heal from an antibiotic, no doubt. And there are some things that it just makes sense, obviously, to take medicine. But my whole thing was always like getting to the root cause. I feel like with traditional medicine, we spend so much time focusing on the things that are the symptoms that we've developed because of this underlying illness or imbalance that's in us, and not enough time getting to the root cause of what is that imbalance, where did it come from, and how do I correct it, how do I fix it so that I'm not sick anymore, so that I don't have the symptoms anymore, so I don't have to treat it with medicine. I mean, I don't know what your opinion is on this, and I promise, let you talk. But my thing is, like, you know, with all the medications for, you know, all the things like bipolar disorder, God, every other person that I talk to has been diagnosed bipolar lately. And you know, they're giving you a medication to bring you up, a medication to bring you down, a medication to stabilize your mood, all these different things. And basically, they're just like treating symptoms all over the place. And to me, there's a root cause to everybody's disorders. They're problems, and I'm not saying that, you know, that there isn't a real bipolar disorder, because I think there is, but I just feel like we over-diagnose and over-medicate in this country, probably in a lot of countries, but especially in this country. What's your opinion on that?
I would agree that the traditional way of treating illnesses is symptom-based, and
right.
We need to shift more towards getting to the root cause of what's going on. That's where true healing occurs.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think getting to the bottom line of, I think it's all caused by imbalances in our system, and I think energetic imbalances in our system, and I think that, like you're saying, you know, when you're in a regular meditation practice, when you're taking care of yourself, it's like taking a multivitamin every day. You know, it's like the same sort of thing for your mind, because you know that's what meditation is doing for you. It'll prevent, you know, like the multivitamin might prevent you from getting an illness or something that's airborne or whatever, something you run across, because of the fact that your system is there ready to go. If our systems are, if we're keeping our body ready, we need to also keep, you know, our mind and spirit ready. And I think we do that through meditation, through that quieting time. I have so many clients go ahead.
No, I would agree. I would also like to stress that when people think of meditation, they think only for, like, the mental, emotional, and spiritual aspect for it. But it's very fundamental for the physical as well, because your thoughts
right.
are affecting your physical health.
Absolutely.
So you need
totally
to learn
agree.
To, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that is so true. It's one of those things where, you have to realize that, you know, I see it within myself sometimes. I'll have one bad thing happen. I'll think one negative thought, you know, like say I drop my fourth glass for the day or something. I don't know. I have fumble fingers. I'm always dropping stuff. And I get to the point, I'm like, oh, great, it's going to be one of those days. That little negative thought I just had then starts, like, it's like this snowball effect. You know, then everything becomes negative, and I'll catch myself. I'll be like, what are you doing? This is exactly what you counsel people to not do. And I think we all can get trapped in that. Do you feel you still get trapped in that once in a while, or do you feel like you've gotten beyond that?
I feel that is definitely a process of evolution. And definitely I feel that the meditation has helped me to see it quicker, and so therefore I can shift my way out of it. So, yes, it does happen, but it happens for shorter periods of time, and I'm able to just, like, shift a lot quicker to a more positive aspect in my life.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's exactly what I want, you know, because I think the first thing for me, it's like the recognition that I'm doing it is like a big part of correcting it. Once I recognize that I'm doing it, once I recognize that I'm getting myself into that frame of mind, it's like, okay, whoa, what are you doing? Stop, you know, and you're able to stop yourself. So, but for me, because I don't do the regular practice like you do, I don't do a formal 2 hours of meditation every day. For you, you probably with that first negative thought or that first negative experience, you probably are alerted to it and able to correct it. Whereas I spend maybe half my day before I'm like, what am I doing? You know, why am I being like this? You know, and so that's probably the difference in the way we practice meditation. Yours obviously being the better way.
I would agree. The more you practice, the easier it gets. However,
right.
I don't want to set anyone up like they have to practice for 2 hours. I would say for you, even if you say you spend half a day, you're spending half a day now, but I bet maybe 5 years ago you might have spent a week or something in that state before you realized.
No, you're right. Yep.
You
know, that's absolutely
so you are getting better at it. And, and this is why I also incorporate it into my program in addition to the meditation. While the benefits of the meditation are taking place, I also have key steps in place to help people recognize that they are in a negative state and then to shift out of it. So you're coming at it from a two-point perspective, from meditation point and also from a point of what I call raising your vibration. So you're just learning to monitor how you feel, and then from there you learn to shift towards a healthier state. And it's this two-step process is a quicker way, I would say, to a healthier mind, body, and spirit.
Do you have a lot of people that you instruct ask you or tell you that they can't blank their minds? I get this all the time. I don't know how to blank my mind. I can't shut my brain off. I'm like, well, you're not supposed to shut your brain off. You can't shut your brain off. It's physically impossible to shut your brain off. How do you handle that basic element of explaining that meditation is not shutting your mind off? It's refocusing, basically.
Yeah, it basically is. And that's what I actually wrote an article on it because it's in my frequently asked questions section on my site because you get it all the time. People are like, oh, I can't meditate because,
right.
You know, they have like 10,000 thoughts roaming around in your head.
Exactly.
And I tell them, like, yes, you can meditate. The issue is now that you're meditating, you're putting your focus inward. So you started to really notice how active your mind has been. And then you get scared. You're like, oh, my God, you know, I can't shut my thoughts off. But in actuality, you are beginning the process of learning to focus your thoughts and train your mind and build brain neurons to focus and quiet. Because it really the more you do it, the more brain neurons you build, and the easier it gets to focus, and then less thoughts you get coming in your head. So it's really just a process of practice.
Yeah, I think that's so. I mean, that's one of my big things. Everybody's like, I can't meditate. I think too much. There's too much going on. I'm like, everybody thinks too much. We all overthink everything, and you know, and we need to. And it's not about that. It's about just focusing. And for me, my goal is to focus on silence in a way, on this quiet spot. You know, it's that little happy place that we all go through in our heads, you know, that we go to once in a while, maybe when we're trying to fall asleep and we can't or whatever. We go to this little happy place, and you're in that happy place, and you're just in receiving mode. You're just receiving, you know, and not thinking, not overthinking. And it's hard to explain to somebody, because there is a part of it where you're almost shutting off part of your brain. You know, you are trying to shut off some thoughts, but to say that you're not thinking is ridiculous, because of course you're thinking.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely a concept of meditation, and I guess you're just floating away, or your body is being elevated, or whatever concepts people have from watching TV or listening to other mystics or whatever, but it's not the reality of meditation.
Right, and it's something that we're doing. It's just like, you know, if you're going to the gym for an hour a day, you know what, spend another hour a day meditating. I mean, it's doing the same thing for you. It's a healthy preventative way of staying, it's a way of staying healthy, just like exercise for your body is. It's the same for your mind and spirit, and then that in turn also affects you physically. So I think it's important. Okay, now back to questions. Do you have, like, a lot of people have retreats. Retreats are really big right now. Spiritual retreats, meditation retreats, yoga retreats, you know, all kinds of Reiki retreats, all kinds of retreats. Are you offering any kind of meditation retreats?
Yes, I do offer meditation retreats. The next scheduled meditation retreat I have is a 7-day all-inclusive retreat in Sedona, Arizona.
Nice.
Absolutely
nice.
Phenomenal there.
I love it there.
Yeah.
That's the happiest place on earth. Forget Disneyland. I'm telling you, Disney World is not the happiest place on earth. It's Sedona.
Oh, my God. I just get shivers just thinking about Sedona. It's just so energetically powerful there. It's awesome.
Yeah, I love it there. So where's the retreat going to be? I mean, I know it's going to be in Sedona, but are you staying on one of the by one of the vortexes?
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry, are you staying near one of the vortexes, or?
It's on the Sedona Mango Retreat. And they actually have what they call 12 mini vortexes on their retreat, and I've been into their retreat center, and it is phenomenal, and there are little mini vortexes here, and it's phenomenal, the energy all over Sedona. Yeah, you have your major vortexes where you have an increased amount of energy, but you will find energy centers everywhere.
Yeah, and you don't have to be super sensitive, just so all the listeners know. You don't have to be super sensitive to energy to pick up the differences in Sedona by these vortexes. And there are several vortex, you know, known vortexes in the world. We're very lucky to have a very, just an amazing one in Sedona, you know, in the U.S. And you go there, and I got to tell you, when I went, the first time I went, I spent, you know, my husband and I went together without the kids, and I spent like 2 hours in the fetal position on the bed just crying my eyes out. And I'm like, I had no idea why, you know, I was like, I had no idea why, but then I felt so much better when it was over. And I was like, my everything, I had like this major shift inside me. It was amazing. Now, I am sensitive to energy. I think we're all sensitive to energy. I just don't think we all recognize that we're sensitive to energy. But I think some of us are just more sensitive to it than others. But Sedona is a beautiful, beautiful place for your soul. It just is a great vacation for your soul. And so definitely I would suggest checking out Shangela's meditation retreat in Sedona, because Sedona is just, it doesn't get much better than that. You named your company Seek Within You, right?
Yes.
Okay, where did you come up with that name? Like, how did that come about? That's a great name. I love it.
Well, I have a strong belief that all that you need lies within you. So if you seek within, you will find the answer. So that's how I came up with the name, Seek Within You. It's all there within you.
Yeah, everything's right there. What other aspects of metaphysics or holistic medicine or holistic health or any spirituality basically do you engage in with your clients? Do you have other things that you incorporate into your teaching, or is it strictly meditation?
No, there's more than just meditation. I incorporate other holistic techniques because I've been trained in traditional Chinese medicine, TCM, herbal medicine, holistic nutrition, hydrotherapy, and other healing modalities. So I have knowledge of these, and I try to incorporate that into my training program. So it's really based on the student, what questions they have in particular, and I can say, okay, well, maybe you may want to consider this herb, or, you know, find you an herbalist who specializes in this, or find you an acupuncturist, and so I can kind of help guide them to incorporating other holistic techniques into their protocol.
Yeah, I think it's always good to kind of embrace a lot of different modalities when it comes to this sort of practice, because you know meditation is definitely one, and there's a huge benefit from it, but it's nice to also have someone teaching you meditation that knows other areas of holistic health.
Well, thank you. Yes, I do feel that. That's an asset that I can offer to my clients. I'm not blindfolded. I understand the benefits of other modalities as well.
Right. And that's really important. And so, you know, sometimes, like I always think with myself, I've become certified in so many different modalities for energy healing and for, you know, holistic healing and holistic health. And, you know, I've gotten myself in so many different things that sometimes I'm like, I don't even know what I do anymore. You know, I do so many things. I don't even know how to explain it anymore. But the bottom line is, it's like you pick the thing you're passionate about. And for you, I think that's meditation being a core thing you need to do to stay healthy. And then to have the education and the knowledge there about the other modalities is such an add-on, and I've gotten to the point where that's how I think about my own stuff as well, because otherwise you just like go crazy, you know. There are so many different things out there, so many different modalities and so many different healing methods, and they're beneficial, all of them, but you have to, you know, the core one, the one that resonates with you, the one that you believe in the most, is the one you're focusing on, and then you're kind of, you know, you have that backup. So if a client, you can be specific with a client and get into other areas as well when you know that it's going to benefit them. So that's important. Do you do one-on-one in-person like meditation instruction?
Yes. In addition to the online instruction, I offer in-person instruction at meditation retreats and also at local classes in Metro Detroit area. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of people like to see you in person and experience
you
in person. So, yeah.
So how is it, I mean, you know, just thinking about Detroit, you being from Detroit and knowing, I've never actually been there, but knowing what I know about it, do you find that like a lot of people are searching in your area for this sort of thing? Because I find that certain areas of the country, people are more in tune and more, I guess, more aware of these holistic and you know, metaphysical type of practices. Do you find that Detroit's one of them? I mean, it's an awfully busy city. It's an awfully busy place. It's a big place. It's got a lot of people. Are you branching out further than that?
Well, you are. I know you are. But are you finding that a lot of people in that area are receptive to this, or is it a little harder there?
No, I think that there are a lot of people here who are receptive to it because the energy here is there's a need for help here. There's just a need to raise the vibration of the city and the surrounding city. So people are searching for something different, and that is what I can offer to them, a way to show them how that they can enhance their life. Because they're in actuality, there's not really a lot of meditation practitioners here in this area. There's definitely, I think, a need for it, of course.
That's what I was getting to, because you know, I'm in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and I got to tell you, Philadelphia, not a lot. I mean, there are some, don't get me wrong, but it's not like one of the places that you think of when you think about, you know, finding a meditation instructor. You don't think, oh yeah, I'll go to Philly. You know, I mean, it's just not. One of those that come up, and that's what I'm thinking, like, Detroit would not be a place where, but that's where I think, you know, the fact that we are in areas like that, and these are cities that need healing. I mean, Detroit, what an incredible place, and what a sad story, too, because so much has happened there, and, you know, they've gone from being, it went from being such an amazing, you know, everybody, you know, just everybody having great jobs and great lives to, you know, everybody, so many people being unemployed and having to move and abandon their houses and all these different things. And, you know, yeah, there's a lot of healing that needs to happen there. And so I think it's great that people like you are in the places that it's more unusual. Yeah, we got a lot of meditation instructors in Sedona, Arizona. We don't have very many. In places like Detroit and New York and Philadelphia and, you know, and some of these cities that, you know, that need more healing, you know?
I think that can be an asset. So it can be challenging at times, but I definitely feel that people want what I have to offer.
Yeah, I definitely think so too. I agree, and I really want to encourage people to check out your website, because we're coming down to the last couple minutes of the show, and I want to give you a minute to tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and all of that. But I just want to tell everyone, your website is online-meditation.seekwithinyou.com, right?
That's actually the site for the Meditation for Health program. The main site for people to find out the information about the program is seekwithinyou.com. So www.seekwithinyou.com.
Okay, seekwithinyou.com. And then I'm sure you can find all the information about the online Meditation for Health program, which seems like such an awesome program, and I'm really glad you did. Tell everybody where they can find. Are you still selling your book? Are you, you know, what's going on that you really want to promote?
Well, what I really like to promote is my Meditation for Health program, because obviously I think it's an awesome program. I have, you can take it as an online course, a self-guided course at your own pace, or you can also take it as a 10-week course where I guide you through it on a weekly basis. So we meet once a week and we go through a live session. And I also offer it as a personalized program so I can personally cater it to your needs. So if you need me to offer one-on-one personal attention to you, I can do that as well.
I love that. I love what you do, and I really appreciate your being on the show. And everybody, check out seekwithinyou.com check it out and contact Shangela, because she seems to really have some really great stuff to teach everybody, and meditation is really, really important. So I really appreciate your being on the show. I hope you'll come back on someday, and I promise to learn your name.
Well,
I promise to learn how to pronounce your name without screwing it up.
It's a phenomenal opportunity to be on your show, and I'm so grateful.
Thank you so much, and I'll definitely be in touch.
Oh, thank you. Yes, and I'll be here.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, everyone, we're coming to the end of the show. You've been listening to Just Reeve Radio on the RightStream Network. The show airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Sunday we have amazing guests on and covering lots of fascinating subjects. Don't forget to check out my webpage at lisatarves.com, LISATARVES, where, and you'll find links to Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn pages. My Twitter is at lisatarves. And you'll find links to where you can find my book. I'll talk to you all next week. Thanks for listening.